This morning, as you can tell, it's a little different. But if you would turn to Psalm 121, I've been reading this book called "Anxious for Nothing," and because I don't know if you know this, but anxiety and the problems with anxiety, it is just a rampant problem in our world today. Everybody has it to some degree, and so I've been doing this personal study and about trusting the Lord and trusting His Word and not being anxious. And as believers, we're called to not be anxious. But and the Word says, "But by everything, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to the Lord." So, what practically and how does this work in our lives? And so, as I've been reading this book, he uses this illustration of Psalm 121, and in Psalm 121. It is labeled that all the Psalms. First of all, I know y'all know this. You know the Psalms are a book of songs, right? And the truth is, I've wondered if we shouldn't only be singing the Psalms. But I'm not that rigid and cold. But there is some thought behind that, singing the book of hymns that God has given us. But in this one particular song or psalm, it's called the Traveler's Song or the Traveler's Psalm. It's a group of psalms that are encouraging pilgrims that this world is beating down on you. This world is troubling you. This world is just hard. And as the pilgrims, for different times of the year, as they would travel to Jerusalem for different festivals, they would often sing this psalm to help encourage them. You know, to say, "Hey, we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to God's city." They were going to worship together, and so even though the world was beating down on them and there were so many issues going on in life, they would band families and communities would band together, and they would travel to Jerusalem together and sing these songs. And this is one of the songs that they sang together. And so, as I've been looking into this, I thought, man, the next time we get a little break, and this is our break, because some of the ladies were like, "Please don't go to Isaiah 13 without us." And so I told them I wouldn't. So I wanted to share this with you. A couple of notes. I don't know if y'all know much about David Livingston. Do y'all know anything about David Livingston? He is a missionary, and actually an explorer. He was a missionary to Africa, and it basically mapped most of Africa and would travel around, and God used him because as he mapped these different tribes and stuff, other missionaries that came behind him, and he knew this. He said they'll be able to take the gospel more effectively to Africa. And so he traveled around and went on if you want to read, and especially if you have kids and they want to read something, that you need to read stories about David Livingston. It's wonderful, wonderful stories and tales. But he was called to do this. He said, David Livingston said this psalm right here when he would worry and be concerned, because he was put in life and death situations all the time. Could you imagine mapping and laying out Africa before anybody? I mean, nobody had done that. Just think about it. And he was encountering things and animals and beasts that nobody, it was the tribal people knew about them, but there was no white people that knew about them. You know, and he would see these things, dinosaurs, really, and go, could you imagine the fear and the trepidation? And he said, this psalm, he would sing and quote and pray all the time. So I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to use this, make this psalm one, a psalm for you. When you wake up at night, which I know you guys do, in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and you're worried about stuff. I mean, hello? Do you hear me? Make this psalm part of that. Instead of pacing the floor, go to this psalm and open it and read it. And I want to help you. I want to encourage you. One other person that I want to share with you. I think it was in the late 1700s. I can't really remember, but our 1800s in 1800. I don't remember, but there was a rear admiral of the U.S. Navy named J.S. Watson. That used to, when they were out to sea, would sing this psalm to their men. He would encourage them by singing this to them and for strength. So those are just two examples of thousands, I'm sure, of Christians that have relied on this psalm and found comfort in this psalm. And honestly, I want you and I to find comfort in this psalm. I want you today to leave today and go, and you've just got one more bullet or one more weapon in your arsenal to be able to stand against the evil one. Because listen to me, guys, the evil one wants you to worry. He wants you to be full of anxiety. He doesn't want you to put your trust in the Lord. He doesn't. And he may never take your soul because he can't. But he can sure derail you. And that if that's what he can do, but this psalm, I want you to be able to have one more weapon that you can say, hey, you know, instead of sitting here and worrying, I'm going to read that psalm like Pastor said. I'm going to sit down and take 2 minutes. I'm going to read this and maybe pray through it. I hope you do pray for it. But I want you to make it your own. So, a traveler's psalm and this outline that I have, I wrote it down years ago. I can't believe that I'm actually getting this old when to say these things, but I wrote this outline down probably 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, when I went to California and when John MacArthur's church, believe it or not, was about 100 people. Can you believe that? In Southern California, 100 people. And he preached on this psalm. I changed it a little bit. Don't tell him. I think it's better, the outline a little bit. But I want to let you know that the outline part, the basic outline part is really from Dr. MacArthur and his ministry. And I made some adjustments. But the work is really just from my heart that I've just read this psalm through the years. And I want you to know, Rick and I've been talking to each other. Your pastor, believe it or not, is just as human as you guys are. And I get up at night and pace the floor just like y'all. And worry just like you guys. I'm no more spiritual than y'all. But this psalm has helped me, and I want it to help you. So let's look at this. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us with these verses. And then let's dive in. Lord, thank You for this opportunity. Thank You for this song. This song of encouragement to Your people that You gave to David, and that they sang this song for strength through generations and generations, and Lord, really has been handed down to us today. So Lord, help us to look at this, to be encouraged and challenged, and help us to take this passage and use it for Your honor and glory. On those moments and those times and those circumstances and incidences when we are worried and concerned and filled with anxiety, help us to remember this song, this psalm. Use it in our lives, Lord, please. Use it in my life. Use it in New Hope's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. The first one is, the Lord is our helper, which is pretty simple. That's exactly what it says here. So in the first two verses, we see the Lord is my helper. Let's read it. It says this, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my Lord, my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So you have to think about this. They're in a difficult situation. Israel they've gone through a bunch of struggles, and there's always people that for their whole history, even now, they've always been under attack, always. Could you imagine being part of a people group that's always being attacked? That for thousands, and could you imagine their mindset? Aren't we supposed to be Your people, God? Why does everybody hate us? Right? Well, honestly, not much has changed. Isn't that right? I mean, I remember, and I could tell you stories literally all day, all night of young people coming to know the Lord in China, and their parents, and immediately their teachers and their employers in China would automatically be on the attack against them for one reason, because they became Christians and gave their life to Jesus. And they were already blackballed, even in their families, their mom and dad. And you know what's so crazy? They were better children after they came to know the Lord than before. They loved their mom and dad better than they did before they were Christians. They were better employees. They were better students. They were more obedient. They were more loving. They were more caring. But just because they were Christians, everybody hated them. Don't we find, what much has changed, right? Aren't we kind of in the same boat? People don't want holiness around them. They don't want people around. People that are living in the darkness don't like light. You know that. You know that, and you've experienced it. So you've got to think about this mindset. Okay, they're going to Jerusalem. It's for whatever reason, one of the feasts. They're riding in. It may even be business, but they're coming in to Jerusalem, and they're always constantly attacked. They're poor. I mean, listen, the Hebrew people are the most insignificant little discontented group of people on the face of the earth. And yet they're beaten up, they're bewildered, and so they're traveling to Jerusalem. And more than likely, the majority of them that were traveling, it wasn't like they got on an interstate or a major road. More than likely, it was a path. We in Northwest Florida, Jeff, I don't know if y'all have these in Pennsylvania, but we call them pig trails in Northwest Florida. A path, a beaten down path, and they were traveling. A lot of times they had to go over rugged areas. They had to go through streams. They had to go over rocky places. It just wasn't an easy trip, but they knew they had to do it for their soul's sake. They went to worship because worship was important, and doing this with all of God's people was important. So they would travel across these valleys. They would travel across these rivers, and they would do these things. So they were emotionally tired and mentally tired and physically tired. And they would be traveling. Some of them, the majority of them, would have to travel for days. So listen, when I say this, they were tired, aching, muscles ache. I'm sure heavy hearts, wondering when was God going to redeem them and take care of all this? And suddenly they see the hills from a distance. And when they see the hills from a distance, they are encouraged, and they see Judah and Jerusalem, and they break out in song, and they say, as we see here, I lift my eyes up to see the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So this journey, and the psalmist is talking about, is not just a physical journey, it's a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey that he's talking about. And he's talking about turning and looking at the Lord. And so I ask you very simply, when you're troubled, when you're struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually, where do you find the most help? Where? Where do you go to? Is it you? Is it you trying to figure something out, to fix something? Is that where you go the most? Is it your own intellect or your own opinion? Where do you go to the most to find help? I pray that we will learn to go to the Lord first in everything. To just go to Him. To learn how to worship Him in no matter what situation and trials that we may find ourselves in. To go to Him and worship Him. You know, I've found in my own life quite often that when I am filled with anxiety and worry and fear, it's most often times because I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. Now, I'm not saying that is all the time, but I know in my own life that when I know that I'm following the Lord, it seems like all the worries of the world seem to fade away. You know what I'm saying? When I'm focused, and this is me, when I get my focus on the Lord and go, okay, Lord, I'm doing this right. I'm leading my family, my wife right, my children. I'm doing this. When I can go through checklists and I go, okay, Lord, I need to trust you that you're going to work this out. I'm like we sang this morning, trust and obey. There's no other way. That I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm obeying you, what you're calling me to do. And I need to step back and just trust that you're going to work this out. But you know where the worry comes in is when we want God to work it out the way we want it to be worked out. Right? When we go, God, this is how I want you to work this out. And it doesn't, and he may do that. But it may not be exactly how we want. He may eventually do what we're, but it may not be like we want it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm like, Lord, I know this is what your word says. Why? Can you do this? Yeah, Brandon, I can do that, but it won't be the way you want it to be done. I'm like, oh, okay. Trust and obey. So we find ourselves and we see that here it is clear in the first two verses that the Lord is our helper. He's the one that helps us. He comes to help us. In your worship at these times in the darkest hours can be the best worship. So point number two. Okay, so God, the Lord is our helper. Point number two, the Lord is our protector. He's our guard. I need this. This point, the helper, I pray. I mean, these words come across my lip every day, 1,000 times a day. Lord, please help me. Please help me to think right. Please help me to do right. Lord, please. I ask the Lord's help. I ask Him for help to find my car keys. It doesn't matter how small or how big. I ask Him to help. God, Lord, please be my protector and my guard. Now, when I was a young man or a younger man, I didn't worry about this so much. I knew the Lord as a Christian. I knew He was guarding over me and watching over me. But I was a lot stronger man than I am now. But as my family grew, I realized that I couldn't protect my family like God can protect my family. And I realized the futility of my strength, my physical strength that I thought I had. This word that he says in verse 3 and 4, let's look. So verse 1 and 2 is the Lord is my helper. Verse 3 and 4 is the Lord is my guard or my protector. Let's read it. It says, He will not allow your foot to be moved or slip, some of your translations may say. He who keeps you will not slumber, but he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So we see he's this guard. He's standing guard over us. And so the picture that you need to get, and it's a very clear picture here, is he's a vigilant watchman. He does not fail at his task. His eye is upon you. He's not moved. He doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't slumber. He's not lazy. The word vigilant watchman is really a good way to picture this. When Alexander the Great was basically conquering the known world, of course he had a lot of enemies that wanted to kill him. And if you know anything about Greek and Roman history, they went through emperors like a lot of us change clothes. I mean, there were people that were always wanting power. And so, but when Alexander the Great came into power, somebody asked him one time, how do you sleep at night with all the people that are after you, wanting to kill you? He said this, he said in his reply, because of Parmenio. Parmenio was his guard. He said, he is a faithful watchman that stands by me and never leaves my side. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, Lord, this is really a fantastic picture here of you and I. Why in the world, if Alexander the Great, and if y'all read anything of history on him, man, that dude was hated by more people than Trump is hated by people. That was a joke. Y'all didn't really laugh, but that people wanted to kill him all over the place, and he said that this is how I rest, because he never leaves my side. He doesn't sleep. He's not lazy. And I was thinking, man, if Alexander the Great could rest with this human dude, why can't we rest with God watching over us? One of the stories that David Livingston told when he was actually by himself, he had been abandoned at this time. I don't know where he was, but he was alone. And he hadn't slept for a couple of nights just out of fear. Just sheer fear of what was going to get him in the middle of the night and drag him off. And so he couldn't sleep at night. And he started to sing and pray through this psalm. And he thought to himself, Lord, if you are watching over me, if you're my guard and you're not going to sleep, then if you're not going to sleep, let me sleep. And he wrote about it. He was like, Lord, would you just, if you're going to stay up and watch over me, then let me rest. He said he slept like an angel that night. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's a magic wand. You know that. But I'm going to tell you that I believe that with all my heart. That if we truly can get to the concept of God being our protector, and if we can understand who He is, that we can rest in the Lord. We can find and go, Lord, you are watching over me and guarding me, and you don't slumber, you don't sleep. Your eye is upon me, and you see me, and you will not let me go. I want to read you another couple of verses out of Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is quite a lengthy psalm, but verse 23 and 24 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Listen, the Lord is going to hold you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to keep you. And he's not off. He's not silent, and he's not blind. He's not deaf. He is not asleep. He's watching you and hearing you. So go to him. So the Lord is our helper. The Lord is our guard. The Lord, the third point is, the Lord is our keeper. He keeps us. Kind of similar to all of these, but verse 5 and 6 says that he is our keeper. Let's read it. It says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So he's saying, the Lord is your covering. So he's protecting us. He's guarding us. He's helping you and strengthening you. And he's also your keeper. He's covering us. He's covering us from calamities and things that happen. I'll never forget this. We were, Miss Jessie, you probably can. What year was it that you went to Peru with us? What do you remember? Well, I'll tell you the story. It doesn't matter the year. Was it 4 years ago? Okay. We were heading down to Orlando, all the team. Miss and Jesse was a part of this. We were all in the van, this van, and we were driving together, and we were heading down to Orlando. And, you know, I mean, everybody has to go through this, but the toll booths. We're going through toll booths. No, I guess some of y'all don't. Some of y'all just go through it and say, send me the ticket later. So, unless you have a... Okay. And I was going through the toll booth. I was driving the team. And Beth said, because my mind was preoccupied with, do I have this? Do I have... Because when you take a group on a mission trip overseas, there's a million moving parts. And so my mind was preoccupied, and I had pulled in the longest line at the toll booth. Beth said, why didn't you go over here to this next lane? That was like had two cars in it. And our lane, no joke, had 10. And I was like, I don't know, honey. And I did. I was like, I don't know. Well, everybody, we were laughing that, you know, we go through the toll booth. And I even noticed this PT Cruiser that was the last, the lane that Beth said, why didn't you go in that lane? There was, you know, you look over there and go, oh, there's two cars there. And there was a PT Cruiser right there. We go through the toll booth. It was not 1 mile down the road. I mean, like an 8-car, terrible accident, PT Cruiser right in the middle of it. And the van went silent. And it took us a while to, we were like, my goodness, what's going on? We saw the lights, fire truck. I mean, they were, and we were sitting there going, what in the world? That extra 15 minutes. God. And we all knew it, didn't we, Miss Jessie? We all in that van. And I'm sure Mr. Jerry could tell you 100 stories about living in Brazil, how God just takes care of things. And he's guarding, covering you, and you don't even know. You don't even know what you're facing. You don't know what you've missed. You don't know what he's done. And this verse right here is what you, this is the verse. 5 and 6. When he says here, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Think about this land that they were in. The sun, I mean, it would beat down on you. It was a constant strain of strength and zapping of your strength. And so he said, the Lord is going to give you shade by day and cover you by night. Y'all know this. I hope you know this. This is common knowledge. But, you know, we get our moon, our name for the moon, from the Latin word luna. And that's where we get lunatic, is that they thought people who stayed out at night, which that's pretty much true, that you become a lunatic by moonlight. But the image here is that God is covering you. He's shading you. He's protecting you from the elements and the work, all these things around you. And he does it, look, night and day. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So by day, he's doing it, and by night, he's doing it. And he's keeping us. He's keeping us from these attacks. Who's your covering? Who do you want to solve all of your problems? Who do you run to solve your problems? You know, a mature Christians is neither blind to the troubles nor the fears of this world and the things around them, but they don't just push them off. It's just not blind faith, but they set their mind and they go, I've got to trust Jesus. I've got to trust Him. Lord, You're my helper. You're my guard. You're my keeper. I've got to trust You. Last point, and then we'll go. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. He's also, the Lord is our preserver. He's the one that keeps us safe, but He also carries us to the end. Now, we talk about this all the time at New Hope. And it's really a thought that I've shared with y'all so many times that I've wondered if we've stopped hearing it because I share it so much. But let's read this. 7 and 8. It says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even evermore. So, we need to have this thought. First of all, I know it says from all evil. That doesn't mean that troubles are never going to come your way. But it means that you ultimately are not going to be lost. We are not going to be lost. He is going to keep us. And so there's this, it's this image of Him doing it now, but He's also doing it to the very end. Verse 5 and 6 5 and 6 was Him covering us now. But verse 7 and 8 is that He's going to preserve us to the very end, for eternal life. He's doing it here and He's doing it now. He's going to keep doing this. We are not to fear those who can kill the body, but those who are able to kill the body and the soul are those that we need to fear, which is only God, right? What can they do to us? What's the worst thing that can happen? It's terrible to bury loved ones. That's a terrible thing. But that's the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is them taking everything that we owe, everything that we have. That's the worst thing. I don't think so. I don't think that's the worst thing. So this preserving that he's talking about in these last two verses, that preserves your soul. You don't lose your soul. That is the most important. I'm telling you, all the money in the world, all the health in the world, all of those things pale in comparison to your soul. I promise you. It pales in comparison to our children's souls. I can sit here and say, I care about your soul. But it doesn't matter if I care about your soul. Do you care about your soul? I love you guys, and I want us to grow spiritually. I want us to be mature believers. Listen, I want to so equip you guys. When y'all walk out of that door, there's nothing that you can't face in this world. And not blink. And sit there and go, you know what? My God is bigger. But I can want that for you all day long. You have to want that. He preserves our soul. A couple of passages that you know very well. I'm going to just read them to you. Romans 8, 35 through 39. You know it. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. That nothing can take us, not trials, tribulations, and nothing. So if nothing can take you from the hands of God, what are we worried about? And you know this. Probably my all-time favorite verse of all times, Philippians 1:6. What He has begun in us, He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That brings me so much hope. That what He has started in us, He is going to complete it in us until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? I depend on that verse. So, all of this, let me say this in passing, in closing. If you're on this journey and you're on the road, keep pressing forward. Just keep knuckling down and pressing forward. If you're here this morning and you haven't started this journey, this pilgrimage of the Christian faith, it's time. Now's the time to do this. And number three, if you've been on this journey and you've strayed off and you need to get back on this journey, do it today. Don't hesitate. Let's do it today. It's time to get back on track. I love you guys. What a wonderful morning. Do not tell the rest of the people that I'm letting you out early. Okay? They may go on retreats every Sunday if I tell them I'll let you out early. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for this song of encouragement, the traveler's song, the pilgrim's song. Lord, help us to be encouraged. Help us to spend time with these eight verses. For it to stir in us and challenge us, and for us to constantly look upon the hills, for whence comes our help. The Lord is our help. Lord, please don't leave us to ourselves, to our own thinking, our own emotions, our own, Lord, Would you help us to trust fully in you? the God, our God, who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Who's there, who will protect us from all evil and preserve us until the very end, and from now until forever. Lord, that's good news. Thank you, Lord. Help us to rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.